What is up, everybody? It is I, DPX. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, DPX Talks, for about an hour. I've been telling you for months now I'm going to try to get a guest on the next episode, and then I kept failing and failing. But I finally got a guest on here. It is Mad T. What's up, Mad T?
What's good, everybody? It's Mad T from the Arcade Consoles, and it's the first time I've been on the podcast. How you doing, DPX?
I'm doing good. It is the first time you've been on my podcast. Not the first time you've been on my channel. You made a couple little cameo appearances on solo missions earlier this year.
Oh yeah.
If you guys watched the part one of the Switch 2 episode, he was in the game chat segment, and he was also. Okay, I'm gonna mute my phone so it doesn't buzz. He was also in another episode. He showed his face. I don't know if you like want people to know that was you, but yeah, you're in that. We got some stuff to talk about.
As long as
about.
It's brief.
Yeah, we got some stuff to talk about. One thing I did not mention to you, Mad T, was actually when I have a guest on here, one of the first things I ask is, what games have you been playing?
Honestly, it's mainly been Mario Kart World, if I'm going to be completely honest with you.
We got a segment about that later.
Yeah, I literally just kind of like I'm the type of, I'm like one of the editors for the Arcade Consoles, and I still have a lot of my backlog to edit because I've just been playing so much of Mario Kart World. I just can't stop. I just can't stop. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Especially with
where did I go?
What has happened, but. So, you okay, TPX?
You know, my webcam just disappeared from OBS. That was weird.
Oh.
Anyways, yeah, continue.
No, well, it was Mario Kart World, and it was actually Super Mario Galaxy 2, because I had a sort of a craving for that game for whatever reason.
Hmm.
And I think those are the only two games I've ever played recently, at least.
Okay, that's cool.
So,
anything you've been watching recently that you want to mention? Like, any new movies or shows? Well, not new, but, like, just any movies or shows you want to mention?
Not really. I haven't been really watching a lot of movies or shows. I've just been on, like, YouTube most of the time.
Yeah.
And playing games. But
I guess that's fair. I do want to mention, this was going to be a topic, but I don't know if we have much to say, really. Squid Game Season 3 came out today, and that's the final season of Squid Game. And, I mean, I haven't finished it. I watched the first two episodes, and they are quite crazy, I will say. But, you know, it's kind of crazy that Squid Game's over. You know, if it kind of felt like, that was such a big deal when the first season came out. And then, like, it's just been, we didn't get another season for a while. And then all of a sudden, it's done. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's a little weird, but I'll probably have a review for Season 3 when I finish that.
It's even weirder that, like, it's, I haven't really heard much advertising for Season 3. I feel like it just kind of showed up, you know? Like, you know how Season 1 and Season 2 were, like, heavily promoted from Netflix?
Yeah.
But then Season 3 just kind of showed up. Like, I didn't, not gonna lie.
Oh. You there?
I thought they were still, like, huh?
Your audio cut out.
Oh. Am I still here?
No, you're still here. You're still here. Awkward moment on the podcast.
Anyways, like, I don't know. Yeah. We're having some technical difficulties.
We're all good now. We're all good now. So just continue what you were saying.
Okay. But anyways, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I haven't really heard any sort of promoting for Season 3, which is a little weird considering this is the final season. Maybe it's just me, but it's weird that Netflix hasn't really, I haven't seen much And in terms of, like, marketing for Season 3, as much as Seasons 1 and 2. So
the thing is, you are not the first person I've heard say that today, but I don't know if I completely agree. Like, the marketing, I'll agree, is definitely not as, like, was definitely not as, like, crazy as, like, the first two seasons. But I, like, I knew this whole week that it was coming out, so I don't know. Maybe I'm just, like, I really like the show, so maybe that's why. But, that's what I got to say about that. And, obviously, like, I don't really usually talk about what I've been playing if I have a guest on. But I do want to talk about the Gex trilogy. Because that, I wanted to make a review for it, but it came out at a time where I'm kind of just, like, weirdly, like, not, like, it was a weird time for me, and I didn't, have enough time to review it. But I did, actually, I have been playing it. And, look, all jokes aside, because I like to praise Gex like it's the second coming of God, but, like, that's a joke. The first Gex game, solid game. There are better platformers, but it's a solid game. The next two games are also pretty decent, but there are better platformers. But it is cool that we see Gex come back in this way. You know, Gex did have, like, a resurgence in popularity because of YouTubers. Like, Scott the Woz obviously kind of, like, made Gex into a bit of a meme. But, it's a fine collection. Like, the games definitely look really good now. One issue I have with the games, with the collection, that's really annoying is, like, you know how in a collection game where it's, like, you want to pause the game, but, like, not pause the game, like, maybe go back, like, pause it to so you go back to, like, the menu of the collection, if that makes sense? You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the button you press for that is, like, you press, like, the RS button, so, like, one of the control sticks. That's so weird. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, I guess to kind of stand out from all the other platformers out there, and if anyone can get a new game that's not Bubsy, it would be Gex, really.
Yeah.
I think Gex would be more deserving of a new game than Bubsy, honest.
Yeah, because Gex is actually, people actually like Gex, like, like, memes aside, people actually like the games, you know? The games are kind of held in, they're not, like, in this crazy high regard, but they're held in, like, decently high regard, right? Bubsy, nobody likes Bubsy. And the treatment that LRG just gave to Gex by, like, doing a remastered trilogy, they're doing the same thing for Bubsy, by the way. And, like, but, like, no one likes Bubsy. It's not even, like, ironic, you know? Nobody likes Bubsy. So, yeah.
I assume that the Switch 2 version of Gex Trilogy has been fixed, right? Or are they still trying to fix that?
I don't know. I did not play it on Switch 2. I played it on Steam, so...
That's what I heard, though, is that the Gex Trilogy on Switch 2 is, like, apparently the only one that's broken. Like, it literally does not work. Like, it's unplayable.
Yeah,
that's a little strange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, if they fix it, good. But, yeah. Anyways, we're gonna get into the bigger topics. Maybe throw in some, sprinkle in some other smaller topics. You know, we got some movie news, some gaming news, a topic that Mad T comes up with himself. But we're gonna start off with an update for game called Mario Kart World. It's rare that I talk about a patch, you know. But, To give my opinion on the game, I made a whole almost 20-minute review of the game. Really love it. You know, it's definitely, like, you were to ask me if I think it's worth $80, that is a very tricky question. But I think it's a lot of fun. It's a great launch title for the Switch 2. It's a great new direction, a promising new direction for the Mario Kart franchise. And I think it's really good. One thing that this the new Mario Kart game introduces that people have some issues with is intermissions. You know, you play Grand Prix, and there's to go from one track to the next. You race through these intermissions. You know, you race from one track to the next track. You know, you don't just play each track all three laps. You know, and some people don't like that, which you can, you know, you can do like a normal race and they don't have the intermissions, but whatever. But one thing about online is if you selected random, this is another annoying thing about the game, where it gives you an option between three tracks and then random. Random could be any track, it doesn't have to be the three that are listed, and it doesn't always have the intermissions. Well, an update just came out for the game that increases the chances of the random button giving you a track with the intermissions, and people are not happy. This comes to us from GameSpot that reads, the headline is, "New Mario Kart World patch is driving players up a wall in a bad way." So that's what it said. So it reads, "Patch 1.1.2 for Mario Kart World hit Nintendo Switch 2 consoles recently, and with it came a few minor adjustments to tracks like Boost Cinema and Dino Dino Jungle. However, many players have taken to Reddit and other internet-sounding boards to voice their displeasure with the match." "As it seems to have made some unwelcome changes to online play. Multiple users have revealed that patch 1.1.2 makes it more difficult to have the standard three-lap race when playing online with friends. Matchmaking, it seems, prefers what have been dubbed intermission races, or races where drivers must instead ride through the open map from one track to another, and then run a single lap on the new track. However, before each race, players were allowed to choose a track, and it was discovered that the random option would always choose a track from a standard three-lap race until this patch changed it. Now, while the random option still sometimes offers a three-lap race, intermission races have become more prevalent since the patch was pushed out. A reset era thread about the change has many players voicing their displeasure, such as user KillSteelWolf, who simply wrote, "Thanks, I hate it." Another user, BlueStarEXSF, said that Nintendo low-key completely ruined online, while a third, Foffy, said that the patch was, quote, "ruining the traditional Mario Kart experience for no good reason." Then it kind of gives some patch notes, which the excerpt that I read kind of just went into that. I basically just read the whole article. So people are not happy about this. And look, I don't have that much of an issue with the intermissions, right? I think it's, like, the game, like, Mario Kart's taken a new direction, and, you know, I think this is an interesting new direction. You get to see more of the world in Mario Kart World. And, also, if you want to just play, without the intermissions, you can just do normal races. But online's different, right? Online, you didn't always have the intermissions. So if you don't like the intermissions, online, you don't always get them, right? And random made it even less likely that you would get an intermission. Nintendo now patching the game to where it kind of fundamentally changes that aspect of the game, I can see why people are upset, you know? And people saying that the game is ruined, I mean, that might be What were you going to say?
It's a bit out of... It was a bit blown out of proportion,
yeah,
to say
I wouldn't say the game's ruined, you know? It still plays the same, you know? But I get the frustration here. Nintendo's kind of forcing you to play the game a certain way, you know? Matty, you kind of, texted me something like that yesterday. You're like, yeah. Nintendo's like, you're going to play this game our way, and you're going to like it, you know?
No, for real, but that's exactly how I feel. That's how Nintendo is going about this. It's like, they put so much work into making all, 200 plus intermissions in this game. Mm-hmm. Am I correct? Is there 200?
I don't know, but, it wouldn't shock me if there was.
Yeah, but they made so many intermissions, and they're like, they put so much work, and then people are just not going to play it because most people are, you know, don't really like intermissions, and that's completely fine, you know? Mm-hmm. I can see, I'm like in your boat too, DPX, where it's, I can see why people don't like intermissions, Like, they don't require any skill. You just kind of oonga boonga your way to victory, if you know what that means. Like, with mushrooms and golden mushrooms, there's, like, no skill whatsoever to intermissions. While it's the three-lap courses, you kind of need to learn the layout and learn the shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
While there's a whole bunch of shortcuts into intermissions, so there's not much skill. Which I can totally understand, but to say that the game is, like, completely ruined, or, oh, Nintendo has killed Mario Kart World not even a month into the game's launch, it's a little out of proportion, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been utter chaos ever since that patch came out. Like, I think I'm in a Mario Kart Discord, where specifically a Mario Kart modding Discord, and let me tell you, we have a channel that's specifically more for Mario Kart World, and let me tell you, channel was in utter chaos when that patch came out. Like, some people hated it, some people love it. I'm not joking, you DPX. Some people actually wanted to off themselves because the Nintendo killed the game. And I wouldn't go that far. I mean, it is just a game, but it's like you kind of need to think what Nintendo. Why Nintendo does the way they do things.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like... Like, as an avid of Mario Kart World, I even play a lot of online, right?
Yeah.
I even played online last night with Aunt Sam, and most of the random, every time we picked random, it would always choose the intermissions, no matter what. And that went on for I think, 4 games in a row. And yeah, it's a bit... It's a bit... it's kind of terrible, but as someone who actually kind of likes the intermissions, I'm not really bothered by them. But then we had some games where it's like, it would choose like an actual 3-lap course, not through the random, but through like the actual 3-track selection. So it's not completely gone, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little less likely to get, which is a bit of a shame. So.
Yeah. And also, what is also frustrating is that if they were to make changes to the online, like, there's, like, some fundamental issues with the game when it comes to, like, online matchmaking. And they did this, you know? They did something that's, like, say what you want about, like, this change, how big of a deal it really is. Like, obviously, I think it was, like, pretty easy to expect people were gonna hate this, you know? But there's, like, actual issues with, like, why can't you pick, like, why do you just have an option between 3 tracks online, you know? Why is it, how come when you join a lobby with someone, with a friend, you had just a bunch of CPUs? Why can't you just both join an online lobby, you know? It's just stuff like that. Like, why can't you just do free roam online that's not it being in the lobby of a game, you know? Like, they can make changes like that. Some of those are probably harder than others, but some of those are easier than others, you know? They can make changes like that. Instead, they chose to do this, you know? So that's frustrating. And, it's like, Nintendo's like, you're gonna play this game the way we want you to play
it,
and you're gonna like it, you know? And that's frustrating, you know?
I don't really understand Nintendo's like whole philosophy. Like, they're literally like this. Not gonna lie, DPX. This game has just been it's just been controversial since the beginning.
Yeah.
Ever since that $80 price tag, it's just been controversy after controversy. Nintendo really can't do this now. Like, we can't. We don't need another controversy. Like, why does Nintendo do this? Like, I'm an avid Nintendo fan. It's just like it's honestly kind of depressing to see.
Yeah, I mean, they fumbled out of the gate by pricing this game at $80. So now it has that like cloud over it, where it's like it's good, but is it $80? You know. So
yeah,
and then they do stuff like this.
Yeah, like you've seen all the comments where it's. Like, you ever see those comments over, like, every Mario Kart World, like, video or announcement or whatever?
You have to repeat that because you cut out.
This is an $80 game, by the way.
Yeah.
Now it's just like they cut out like. Oh, sorry for interrupting.
No, it's okay. You're good.
Over like, oh, now we don't have the freedom to choose 3-lap tracks anymore. We have to play by Nintendo.
Your audio is cutting out a lot, just so
it really does.
Your audio is cutting out a lot, just so you know.
Really?
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, that's that.
Back now. Are you gonna like,
what's up?
Are you gonna cut this part out of the podcast, because it's cutting out.
Let me pause it. All right. So we're back. Some technical issues there. Hopefully, nothing else comes up. So we were gonna move on. We're gonna move on from Mario Kart, kind of, because the next topic also has to do with Mario Kart, but not entirely. I don't typically cover like esports news, you know, competitive Smash, competitive whatever. But there is, like, a competitive Smash player, he's best known for Melee, named Mango. And he's good friends with, like, Ludwig and all them, and Ludwig, he puts on a thing called Birio Kart, where, basically how it works is you, play Mario Kart, but, like, before you finish a lap, I think it's before you finish a lap, you need to finish, like, a thing of beer you have, right? Mango, participated in Birio Kart, and, he, acted a little, inappropriate, we'll say. And, this comes to us from esports, Psy.com, whatever the fuck. Mango banned on Twitch days after Mario Kart incident. What we know. So we'll read the excerpt here. The hits keep coming for Joseph Mango Marquez, as the Super Smash Bros. Melee player has now been banned on Twitch for an undisclosed amount of time in the continued aftermath of his recent inappropriate physical actions on a Mario Kart stream. As spotted by streamer bans on June 25th, Mango's Twitch channel has been banned, why was he banned, right? While Twitch will share no information, Mango's channel was likely banned for openly harassing multiple streamers, most prominently women like Maya Higa and Extra Emily, with inappropriate physical actions while competing in Ludwig's most recent Mario Kart event. The actions took place across multiple streams, as the event was broadcast by a majority of the competitors on their personal channels on Twitch and YouTube. Following the stream, Ludwig announced that Mango would no longer be invited to attend or compete in future Mogul Moves events, which is like the events that Ludwig runs, in case you guys didn't know, because of his actions. Just a day later, Cloud9 confirmed that it would be releasing Mango from his contract due to the incident ending in 11-year sponsorship with the player. On June 24th, Supernova, one of the largest Super Smash Bros. Tournaments in the world, announced that its organizers has decided to ban Mango from attending and competing at Supernova 2025 in August. Mango posted his own statement confirming he supported these decisions and would be stepping away from content creation and likely competing in Melee to focus on his recovery and earning trust back following his actions. So yeah, it talks about other stuff, but I feel like that was kind of the important stuff right there. So yeah, we don't usually show clips on this podcast, also because it's like an audio podcast. I mean, it's on YouTube as well, but you know, still. But even if I did, I probably shouldn't show that. If you've seen it, it's pretty bad. He's like air humping, two women, like two streamers, you know, Maya Higa and Extra Emily. They're pretty big.
These while they were streaming.
Yeah, like on stream as well, yeah. They're like clearly uncomfortable. Like you can kind of see Emily is like kind of like being a trooper about it. She's not like, you know, but like she's clearly uncomfortable, you know, and like it's kind of, I guess it's kind of like a shtick for him, you know, he's the drunk dad of like esports, you know, but so I guess to him this was a shtick, you know, and people act differently when they're drunk. Some people are like depressed, some people are goofy, some people are horny. I guess he's just really horny and sexual when he's drunk. And obviously it had some backlash, you know, and rightfully so. I feel like there are people saying, like, oh, Mango just ruined his career. And there's truth to that. You know, he did lose an 11-year sponsorship. He is banned from some Smash tournaments. And he's not being invited to any of Ludwig's events anymore. You know, but at the same time, like, people are acting like Mango did the worst thing in the world. And I've seen people come back and be forgiven for much worse, I will say. I'm not trying to defend Mango. He's clearly in the wrong. He'll state that he's in the wrong. He put out a statement. I'm not going to read the statement because it's pretty long and pretty personal. And I guess, like, he basically apologized. He doesn't take... or he does take accountability. I mean, he doesn't, like, defend himself. And one thing he does do, he says, like, he mentions how he's, like, a screw-up and he's, like, he sucks or whatever, which I think, like, he's not defending himself, but by saying something like that, he's kind of trying to garner sympathy, if you know what I mean? Because, like, that's just gonna have people be like, oh, it's okay, you're not a screw-up, but, like, and I'm not saying he is, but, like, he is kind of trying to... I'm not going to say this is what he's doing, but it does seem like he's kind of trying to emotionally manipulate the reader by saying something like that, when he's clearly in the wrong, and he does otherwise defend himself.
Honestly?
Or not defend himself, I mean. But, yeah, I think, before you say what you're going to say, I'm just going to, like, I think it is a right move to, like, have him take a step back, have him, not have him at these events, not have him at these Smash tournaments. You know, actions have consequences, and humping two women on a public live stream with millions of people watching, you know, and you have all these sponsorships, and you have, like, you are, like, somewhat of a public figure, you know, I think you can't really, like, get off of that scot-free. So, yeah, that's my thoughts. Mad T, what were you going to say? Sorry to cut you off there, but...
No, it's okay. Honestly, Mango, surprising, you know, as surprising as this sounds, DPX, Mango is not the worst culprit for bad... I'm not going to get into that because it's not what we're talking about, but he's not the worst. I'll just say that.
Yeah, but no, he's definitely not the worst. But
it's
like...
weird. Yeah, it's weird that the Melee community has seen a whole lot of, excuse my language, a whole lot of shit.
You can curse, I don't care.
And I guess, okay. It isn't the it's just to add to the list of things that's wrong with the Melee community.
Yeah, I think what it is, it's not so much like drama in the Melee community. Like, sure, it's a Melee player, so that's where the connection is. But I think, yeah, like, the reason why this got so big is it kind of like this wasn't a Melee live stream. You know, this was a Mario Kart live stream, and it's also Ludwig, who's kind of transcended Melee. So, like. Like, that kind of made
well,
it bigger.
I get that.
Like, there's more eyes on it, but yeah.
I get that, but it's like, we associate Mango with the Melee community.
Yeah, obviously, and because he's, like, one of their biggest players.
Ever? Because he's been playing this...
Sorry.
Plus, association with the Melee community is like, two levels of bad, mm-hmm. right? And we've known that Mango was a can get drunk. Like, so often. He's a drunkard.
Yeah. Your
like,
audio.
Many times. But I think... Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah.
What the hell? My internet bad? Hold on.
I'm
We're having
pause.
A lot of technical difficulties.
Okay, we're back. Some technical difficulties again. We should be good, though. Let's not...
Yeah, I don't know.
Fingers crossed. Let's not jinx it. But, yeah, we were... Matty, you were kind of talking... I kind of forgot what exactly you said, but you were kind of talking about Mango and how he is, like, a drunk, and he is... I guess it's, like a hit for the Melee
it's
community.
He's a bit of a drunk.
Yeah. And that's kind of, like, his... his thing.
It's funny too. It's like a community. Oh, sorry.
No. It's fine. I was just saying it is his thing that he's drunk. You know, that's like his whole persona. But you see, it kind of went a little too far. You know.
I also think we live in an age where like you can't really do any thing like that anymore. Like it was no, fine definitely. Around like the mid 2000s and 2010s when you know everyone was like like you know everything is all fun and happy, but now everybody's just like I don't want to make this like political or anything. This isn't a political podcast.
No, it's not.
So but like, I mean, I don't know, we just live in
I agree with you what you say, but like even back then it wasn't okay. It just like wouldn't have blown up like this, you know. And I'll even say if he did that with to two guys,
that's true.
If he did that to two guys, like it would have been seen as like, oh look, isn't that funny? Like he's just goofing around. Does that to two women though, and it's kind of like you know, like you know, there's just like yeah. some boundaries there again, that you break.
I'm not condoning his actions at all.
No,
like,
definitely
obviously
not.
That's not good. Like I think he kind of deserves the ban. It's like the Mario Kart update, reacting to the Mario Kart update. Like it's a little blown out of proportion. But what he did was like not right. He probably wasn't in the right mindset anyways.
No, he was drunk.
Like he probably doesn't even remember. Yeah, cuz he was drunk. So it's like but he'll put up with it, you know. It's it's fine. It's just like I don't know, it's... I wouldn't say it's weird, but it's like... Like, we're kind of living in an age where it's like, you can't really do as much edgy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's so many, like... you know, bad stuff... Well, not bad stuff, like... consequences... to doing, like, something like that. Like, it could have been... fine, I guess, because it was, like... much different time. I don't know. All I'm saying is that Mango, you know, he's a drunkard. Like, we all knew that. And he should have not done what he did, but he's been doing it for years.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about humping women, but yeah.
So.
Well,
not about humping women, but getting drunk.
But. Yeah. Anything else you want to say before we move on?
Well, I hope Mango bounces back from this, and he doesn't do it. Obviously, he knows not to do it again. His career is on the line for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So that's all I have to say. That's all I got to say. All
right, moving on to some movie news. This isn't just Matt T. I don't know if I ever really told you this, but like this isn't just a gaming podcast. I basically talk about whatever I want to talk about on here. Yeah, we've got some movie news. So one thing that definitely would have been something I would have talked about on here, but like it just happened when I, like during that stretch of time when I just didn't do an episode of the podcast, the Broccoli family lost the rights to or ownership to the James Bond franchise. You know, it completely went to MGM and Amazon, and people were shouting doom and gloom. Now to give my opinion on first of the James Bond franchise. I'm not, like, the biggest Bond fan, you know. I haven't even seen that many of the Daniel Craig movies. And, like, I'm not, like, I like Bond as, like, a franchise, you know. GoldenEye is a great game. But, yeah, it's, like, ooh, my laptop is loud. It's, let me move my mic away from the laptop. But, look...
You're also kind of cutting out, like, a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well...
Like, you're literally, like, glitching.
Oh. Oh, well.
What is going on today? We're having a lot of technical difficulties today.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening, man. But, anyways, I like Bond. I'm not a big Bond fan. But... ever since the Broccoli's lost the rights to Bond, there's been discussion who's going to direct the next James Bond movie. Well, it's confirmed that the director for Dune, Denis Villeneuve, will direct James Bond, the next James Bond film, which is quite crazy if you ask me. This comes to us from NPR. Dune director Denis Villeneuve views the world of James Bond as sacred territory. Now he'll have a chance to shape that world. The filmmaker is directing the next installment of the, what's with these fucking words? This is a quote from Villeneuve. I grew up watching James Bond films with my father ever since Dr. No with Sean Connery, Villeneuve said, as Amazon MGM announced that he will helm the next 007 movie. I'm a diehard Bond fan. It will be the latest prestige property for Villeneuve, who made Blade Runner 2049 before turning to the notoriously complicated stories of Dune. And then in quotes, the nice thing about him and he kind of proved it really dramatically in the Dune series is he can do spectacle, but he also does character and emotion. Stephen J. Rubin, author of the James Bond movie encyclopedia. I mean, those Dune movies would have died on the vine if you didn't really get behind his lead characters and villains. But don't expect a Bond film anytime soon. Villeneuve is working on Dune Messiah, his third film based on Frank Herbert's epic series. Dune Messiah is not expected to hit theaters until December 2026. Yada yada yada, a bit more about Denis Villeneuve's history of making films and James Bond. Look, that's interesting. You know, I'm not quite sure how great of a fit that is, but I think that can work. it would be a very different type of Bond movie. I'm interested to see this. After MGM took over James Bond. We've also saw the new James Bond game from IOI Interactive, which looks really cool. First Light James Bond, or First Light 007, whatever it's called. I can't wait for that game. But Denis Villeneuve directing a new James Bond movie, I think that's an inspired choice. Mad T, I don't know if you're that familiar with Denis Villeneuve, if you're that familiar with James Bond, but with what you know, what would you say about this whole thing?
I'm actually curious about who Villeneuve. James Bond anymore.
Wait, repeat what? That.
Am I cutting out again?
You did, yeah. Repeat what you said.
Okay. I'm more curious about who Villeneuve is gonna.
Oh God.
Cause.
All right. So yeah, we're back. Would you believe it? Another technical issue. Matt, you were talking about Denis Villeneuve and James Bond.
Yeah. I was saying before how I'm more curious about how. Denis Villeneuve.
I know it's a bit of a
Denis Villeneuve.
Okay. Call him Denis, I guess.
Denis, okay. I'm curious about who Denis is gonna choose as the next James Bond, because I know Daniel Craig is not gonna come back as James Bond anymore. I've seen some people say that they want Henry Cavill to be the next James Bond, and I could totally see that.
I don't mean to interrupt you there. I think I could be wrong here, but I think Henry Cavill was actually the runner up to play James Bond before it went to Daniel Craig. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that too.
Just the only thing is, I think Henry Cavill might be a little too buff to be James Bond. He's just this really big James Bond.
But that's true. But It can't. I mean, they could find ways to slim him down.
He's British, so that's like probably all they need, really. But yeah. So you were saying?
Yeah. They also. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just saying. Continue.
Oh, sorry. Okay. They also they were also kind of like looking over like Idris Elba as well.
Yeah, I think
as like James Bond too.
That wouldn't be a bad idea, but I think he might be a little too old. Like, I don't know. Like, what might happen? Honestly, they might just pick someone who we've never heard of. I can see that happening. Who's also British, or at least in like the comics,
especially world. The new James Bond game.
Yeah, like they got like a younger guy to be James Bond, and it's like before he was James Bond, you know.
Yeah, it's funny too because I've seen some comments saying that it looks a little bit like Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like they're trying to go down that route, which is not a bad thing, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the movie itself, it's interesting that the Dune director is playing that because you've seen the Dune movies of how like good those are.
Yeah.
So I kind of have faith that he can. Yeah.
So that's, sorry, go ahead.
So it'll be kind of interesting. I've personally never seen the Dune movies. I just never had the time to.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're long.
Yeah, they are long, especially if you read the book series too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it is interesting. I am kind of curious how where they're gonna go with that. I mean, James Bond isn't one of those franchises that didn't go down under like some other revived franchises. I mean, Mission Impossible literally just finished with Final Reckoning.
Yeah.
So I think James Bond is in a pretty good spot. It's like I think it's like one of the few movie series that hasn't gone under.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a bit controversial to say.
No, I don't think it is.
That's just me.
But yeah. So yeah, overall, Denis Villeneuve
about this new James Bond movie.
Yeah, overall, Denis Villeneuve directing Bond. I think that's an inspired choice, but I do want to see how that turns out because. Want to see if that's, like, a good mix. But, yeah, anything else you have to say?
Yeah, I think I have faith. Like, yeah. I think I used to watch a whole lot of James...
Uh-oh.
It was... what was it? Spectre?
Yeah, Spectre. There's, like, Spectre, Casino Spectre. Royale.
Yeah.
It's a few others.
Skyfall. Yeah, that's a big Skyfall. One.
No Time to Die but was
Spectre
the last
was,
one.
Like... Oh, yeah, No Time to Die, too. I don't know if that was a good movie or not. I didn't see it.
I heard mixed things about that movie. I never saw it either, but, yeah.
Hmm. I have faith in this director. You know, I'm more curious about who is going to play James Bond next, more mm-hmm. than the movie itself. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yep. All right. So, moving on. I don't know if we're going to talk about this one that much. I don't know if there's really much to say about it. So this could be a brief thing. But I just felt like updating this because this was one of the big topics in the last episode. They're coming out with the Street Fighter movie next year. And the cast is taking shape. And it's very interesting. Because you got Andrew Schultz and 50 Cent in the movie. 50 Cent has joined the cast. I don't think this article talks about Andrew Schultz, but we'll talk about him in a second. 50 Cent has joined the cast of the long-delayed Street Fighter movie alongside Jason Momoa and WWE superstar Roman Reigns. And you know what? Hell yeah. That's what it says. so yeah, I'm not going to read through this whole thing, but 50 Cent is going to be playing Balrog. Or Boxer, if you're not from here. And he's like officially been cast. Like, this isn't like he's not in talks, he's been cast. As of right now, the cast also includes Jason Momoa as Blanca, Noah Centineo as Ken, Orville Peck as Vega, WWE superstar Roman Reigns as Akuma, martial art martial artist actor Andrew Koji as Ryu, and Kalina Liang as Chun-Li. And then this doesn't mention it, but Andrew Schultz is also going to be playing Dan Hibiki. What a weird cast for a Street Fighter movie. Did not think I'd see Andrew Schultz, Roman Reigns, 50 Cent, and Jason Momoa all, like, being in a fucking Street Fighter movie together. That is weird, but you know what? I'm here for that, you know? I'm not too familiar with Andrew Schultz. I know he's a comedian, and you said that no one likes him, so apparently he's not well-liked. That's the first I'm hearing that he's not well-liked, I don't know why he's not well-liked. Maybe I don't know if we should get into that, but, again, it's just, this
it could
is
be a, like, one of those...
No, what are you gonna say? I want to hear what you're
going to
say.
Sorry, I keep cutting you off. I apologize.
I do ramble. Well,
I don't know. So. It could be like one of those comedians. No, it's okay. I should probably let you finish first before I say the thing. So, but he's probably one of those comedians that's just an asshole in real life. Let's be for real.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he's not liked, but... No, that's all I have to say, so you can keep going.
I mean, if he is not well-liked, he's playing Dan Hibiki, who is supposed to be an absolute just goof and loser and probably get his ass kicked a lot, so you maybe get to see his ass get kicked. I thought Roman Reigns being in this movie was, like, the weirdest one, even though, like, he's a wrestler, and, you know, wrestling and acting is, like... One, but, like, similar but different. There's, like, acting involved, but, like, you look at the acting in wrestling, and it's not that good. Roman Reigns is a decent actor. Like, if you've ever seen him, like, emote, like, during his matches, like, he definitely has Hollywood potential. But even though I thought it was a little weird that he's playing Akuma, you know, just not who I would have imagined playing Akuma. But I thought that was the weird one. 50 Cent!
That's...
50, like, I need to see this movie, you know? Like, I need to see this shit. So, yeah,
Not the choice I would have chosen for Balrog, if I gotta be honest.
Like, I probably would have, like, nothing against 50 Cent. Like, he's great, you know, his music is fire, and if you ever heard him talk about, like, literally anything, like, I think you'd just like the guy. But, like, he's not an actor, so I probably would have picked an actual actor before 50 Cent, but this seems like stunt casting. Obviously, I think it is stunt casting when you get people like 50 Cent, Roman Reigns, and Andrew Schultz, you know, three guys who are famous, and maybe they could act, but they're not actors, really. But I think, like, I don't think this movie's gonna be, like, you know, an Oscar-winning movie. It's just trying to be, like... a fun movie, and I think, like, I'm excited for this movie. Like, this is a fucking insane cast. I don't have much else to say, really. Mad T, anything else you got to say about this?
Honestly, I can kind of see this movie going down the corny route, like the original Street Fighter movie.
Yeah.
With a cast like this, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I said this before when I was talking to, another friend of mine talking about this movie, mm-hmm. where it's like the cast might be weird, but the writing could be good.
The writing could be, like, good.
Yeah, the cast could be interesting, but if you give them good material, then maybe they could bounce that off with their personality or something. It's like what you said. Andrew Schultz is a comedian that nobody likes, and Dan Hibiki is literally like the same thing almost. So it kind of works, if you think about it. It kind of works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I can see Andrew Schultz getting the shit out of by Ryu and especially Akuma, then I'm here for it, you know? I'm pretty sure a lot of Andrew's haters would love to see that, too. So I could kind of see it. It's a weird casting choice, but I could kind of see it.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns as Akuma is also weird because he's like, you look at the guy, and, like, he's a pretty good wrestler. Like, he has the build, but not...
Yeah, he's a big dude as well, yeah.
Yeah, but have you seen Akuma in the games? And he's, like, a literal, like, fucking demon and shit? Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns does not fit that criteria at all. Like, he's supposed to be the bad guy. He's supposed to be, like, the heel character in wrestling.
Yeah.
But not as, like, the demon fucking hellspawn that was that is Akuma. That's a weird casting choice, I would say.
Yeah. But it could be fun. I think it could be fun.
Yeah. I am interested to see this movie. It's just, I hope it has good writing. That's mm-hmm. all I have to say.
Or, like, maybe not good writing, but, like, entertaining writing, you know? Like, yeah. It doesn't have to have good writing, just it has to not have bad writing, you know?
It has to be, I would take it if it's a so bad that it's good type of movie, you know?
If it's, you know what? If it's, like, the first movie, I'm good. Like, I'm happy.
Did they announce anything for, what was his name?
Bison?
M. Bison was going to show up in this movie or no?
I mean, I would assume he is going to show up because he is a big part of like Street Fighter lore, but they have not announced like who's playing him.
It would be so cool if they made a homage to the original M. Bison actor, but I don't know.
Yeah. If they give like, I don't know how I'd react if I heard Bison in this movie say, like, for me, it was Tuesday. Like, he says that line again. Like, I don't know how I'd react. Either I'd be, like, excited or be like, oh, fuck you. You know? Because it is, like, a clear wink at the audience. But, yeah. We had barely even talked about, like, the other cast members. Like, fucking Jason Momoa is playing Blanca.
A weird choice.
Yeah, that is weird. But and the rest of the cast is people I've never heard of, but they seem like they could be good fits. Like they got the girl who plays the girl that's playing Chun-Li. I like looks the part at least. So yeah, I think that could
actually Jason Momoa playing Blanca actually makes a whole lot of sense because that's not his weirdest role.
Yeah,
if you remember the Minecraft movie.
Yeah, I didn't. I still haven't seen the Minecraft movie, but that is a weird. Was a weird role for him to be in.
I don't even consider that the weirdest role he has. I just want to see Jason Momoa. This is going to be live action, so I want to see Jason Momoa all green and just rolling around with fucking like electricity coming out of him.
Yeah. So yeah, that's that. I think we're gonna move on to this. This is actually something we both slacked off on. This we're bad reporting. We're bad at reporting here, but Stop Killing Games. It's this like initiative. This whole thing that is going on. We got something from PC Gamer. Well, first of all, to my understanding, Stop Killing Games is this initiative to preserve games, you know, when they become unplayable, preserve them and make it so that you can still play them. I'm all for that. But this comes to us from PC Gamer. The headline is, "The Stop Killing Games Initiative is close to its final deadline, and after that, its leader is understandably done. Either the frog hops out of the pot, or it's dead." Damn, okay. So, we'll read a bit of this. Ross Scott, also known as Accursed Farms on YouTube, has been fighting tooth and nail for almost a year to help spearhead game preservation. Starting after it was announced that Ubisoft's The Crew would be shutting down permanently, ending support for the game, Scott launched the Stop Killing Games initiative. Excuse me. As per a YouTube video shared above, it is shared above, but it's been a hard-fought battle, one that may well be in its final twilight years. Given the UK government's stubborn stance on the issue, Scott's got his tempered hopes on the European Citizens Initiative, which, since its launch last August, is still shy of 500,000 signatures. That makes a twofold deadline for the Stop Killing Games initiative, or at least one headed up by Scott, the UK petition, which ends July 14th, and the EU Citizens initiative, which ends July 3rd. Scott figures the latter has more of a chance of succeeding, given the current law as often at odds with itself. Quote, the law wasn't written for this situation. The industry's terms might possibly be illegal, and traditional expectations are that games last indefinitely. Of course, publishers can't support games indefinitely, Scott explains, but by not giving expiration dates or end-of-life plans, that might be the situation they've put themselves in. That 1 million signatures, he argues, would have been an easy out, that headache-having regulators would be incentivized to take. Quote, if we had rolled up with 1 million signatures, that would have been the easy way out for regulators, because then they would have, because then they would have a mandate. As for why he's still 500,000 signatures short, it's not because the initiative's unpopular. For most of the past year, the initiative has bounced back and forth between being the third and second most popular active initiative in the EU. The problem isn't getting gamers to care about games, it's getting people to care about anything. And frankly, that is a checkmate move. Okay, so I'm not going to read the rest of it. I think you get the idea. He's trying to... So, this guy from the UK... What was his name? I forgot his name already. Ross Scott. Shout out to Ross Scott, though. Like, trying to keep games alive, you know? That's cool. All for game preservation. Even bad games deserve preservation, you know? I said this when I reviewed, what's it called? The Capcom Fighting Collection 2. Most people mention that how... Capcom Fighting Evolution sticks out like a sore thumb, because it's easily the worst game in that collection. One of the worst fighting games Capcom has ever put out, right? But even that deserves preservation, because people worked on it, it exists, it was sold for money, and people should be allowed to play it. Even if it's bad, people should be allowed to, like, form an opinion on it, you know what I mean? And it's also, like, something like that's, like, kind of a piece of gaming history, where it's, like, the one Capcom versus Capcom game, you know what I mean? So, like, and yeah, I saw, like, Mudahar tweeted, like, even a game as bad as Concord deserves to be preserved. Okay, like, Concord took up, like, some big, like, topics on this podcast before, but, we'll just say, I'm for this initiative, and it's unfortunate that people aren't really, you know, doing anything about it, and the regulators don't quite seem to understand. Regulators seem to have, like, this old-school approach to things, and, like, they don't quite see video games as, like, this serious art form, and, like, games that aren't being preserved, games that aren't, like, games that are getting shut down or, like, deleted, that's art. Like, even if it's bad, it's a bad piece of art, you know, bad work of art that is not available anymore, you know. So, yeah, that's my thoughts. Stop killing games. I agree. Mad T, what are your thoughts?
It's honestly really sad to see, though, because nobody just seems to care about this. It's... Well, like, I understand where he's coming from. Like, you know, companies like Ubisoft can just take games off the digital storefront without question and without us to really do anything about, especially bad games, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But so I could kind of see the preservation part, really. Like, we need to really preserve, especially, like, physical copies of older games. And... Like, I guess I also kind of see the fear in that, because, like I said, companies can just take games off stores without any much question, and, you know, that's a little fucked up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that...
Uh-oh.
Like, well, you know, it says a lot when, like, regulators and other people just... don't seem to care, and he kind of stopped caring a bit, you know? Well, I wouldn't say he stopped caring, it more like he gave up, because like, why put in, like, he put a lot of effort into this, but nobody just seems to budge, so it's like, it's just sad. Mm-hmm. It's just really sad.
Yeah. But here, you can look at it on the bright side like this. Maybe this initiative, maybe this petition, whatever, maybe this doesn't work out, but if someone else tries, maybe that works out. And if that doesn't work out, someone else will try, and someone else will try. Eventually, I feel like something could get done. Maybe, like, they don't pass a law to, like, always preserve games, but maybe something gets done about that, you know? Maybe if you, like, remove games, it, like, you can refund them or something. I don't know. Like, I think this is, if this doesn't work, if this specific initiative does not work, maybe it's a step closer to a different initiative to that has the same goal that will work, you know? Like, that could happen. I think it's just, like, there's also a thing about, like, people are, like, the rise of digital media, people are just comfortable with digital, and it's easier to be, like, yeah, I mean, who cares when you're digital, you know? The people who are all digital don't care about physical copies, because that's just, like, the opposite of what they're doing, right? But also, it's easier to lose access to your stuff if it's digital. So that's another thing. So, it's a big old can of worms. That's my thoughts. Mad T, any final thoughts?
See, that I kind of agree with. The fact that digital, the rise of digital copies of games, like, so easy to buy now. You don't have to go to a physical store to buy games anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just more comfortable to people. I mean, I get it. I mean, I have a few digital games myself.
Sometimes you gotta buy digital, you know. Sorry to interrupt you there.
Certain companies just are just doing digital only console, like Xbox, mm-hmm. for instance. And hell, even PlayStation.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, yeah, this is where the industry is headed, and I could see that, you know? It's a lot more convenient. At the same time, there's, like, this huge caveat to that.
Yeah.
To where companies could just take it away anytime, and we can't do anything about it. And it's like, what's the point of the freedom of buying games and doing it? Like, it almost seems like we don't own it anymore, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That's the biggest culprit. That is the biggest culprit, this whole digital thing. And maybe that's what this movement was trying to do, like, so that we can at least preserve the physical copies of it. And also probably support those small, those small businesses that sells only old games.
Mm-hmm.
Probably support those.
Yeah.
Definitely support those. That's how we preserve them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my two cents on it.
All right. Moving on to this next topic. The Batman. One of my favorite movies from 2022. We've been waiting for a while for a sequel, though. And they confirmed that we're getting a sequel pretty soon after. But, like, I feel like it's just been delayed and delayed and delayed to the point where it's coming out in, like, October of 2027. And keep in mind, the first movie comes out in 2022. That's a fucking 5-year gap. Like, what? Like, but do have some movement. Matt Reeves completes the Batman 2 script. This comes to us from Deadline. We'll read a bit of this. Matt Reeves and Mattson Tomlin have completed their script for the Batman 2, more than 3 years after the first film starring Robert Pattinson came out in theaters. The pair shared a blurred black and white photo of the script with a bat on the cover, under which the fuzzy title seems to say The Batman Part 2. Reeves captioned the post which is a collab share with co-writer Tomlin, partners in crime fighters. He also tweeted the photo and tagged Tomlin. The caption cleverly alludes to Robin, who did not appear in the first film. Ooh, that's interesting. who are they going to have to play Robin? I guess we'll talk about that later. The sequel was first announced in April of 2022. Okay, that's like a month or so after the first movie came out. But on the heels of the first film's, March 4 release, which also starred Colin Farrell as Oz, the Penguin, Zoe Kravitz as Selina Kyle, Jeffrey Wright as James Corden, Corden? Wait, what the fuck? Okay, James Corden. I think they got that wrong, but and John Turturro as Carmine Falcone, and Paul Dano as the Riddler, and Andy Serkis as Alfred, and more. That list just kept going. I kept saying "and," but it kept going. So there's not much. I mean, there's more in this article, but there's like I basically just gave you the gist. The script is complete. Or the script at least has been handed in. Maybe they need to rewrite it or something like that. But they handed in the script. So that's progress. I feel like they're waiting a little too long. It's still not supposed to come out for like another like 2.5 years almost. And by then, like, obviously it's Batman and it's a sequel to a well-beloved movie. A movie that did well at the box office. So I'm not gonna say are people not gonna care. But, like, is the hype going to be a bit gone, you know? Because maybe they wait a little too long. Like, it's kind of like Squid Game. Like, we kind of talked about Squid Game for a little bit earlier in this podcast. We didn't, like, the first season was, like, a huge hit. By the time the second season came along, it was still popular. People watched it. It did well. It was still a solid season. But by then, the hype was gone, you know? Like, there wasn't a hype for it, so maybe they wait a little too long. Mm. So I've said, like, it's kind of like Squid Game, where it's, like, by the time it came, like, the second season came out, it just wasn't, like, the biggest thing in the world anymore, you know? So I think maybe you waited 5 years to release, and maybe they can move it up. They have enough time to where they can move it up, possibly. But, like, 5 years after the first, no, five and a half years after the first movie, maybe you lose some of that hype. But it's good to know that they put in a script, and Robin's apparently going to be in this movie. Madsy, what are your thoughts on the Batman 2 script getting handed in? And on top of that, who do you think could play Robin? I have no idea who can play
Robin. Honestly, I always say that, like, the best stories usually come out, like, a very long time, because Matt Reeves needed time to write the script, because he wanted to get it right, you know.
Not to cut you off, but like, he is also kind of like notorious and like sort of infamous for taking a really long time to like get moving on stuff.
I'm saying is that, like, I could totally get why, because I sometimes do that, where like, if I want to write the best stories, I really, really, really need to think about it. And it could take, like, years to do that. It's Batman, of course, especially as good as a movie as The Batman was. You know, you got to get it right the second time around, you know? So
yeah.
I can kind of see why he took a long time. In terms of who could play Robin,
I have no clue.
A good question, honestly. Yeah. It's just, like, who can bounce off of Robert Pattinson's Batman
No clue.
So, you know what's funny is that they could bring an actor from the Twilight movies.
Be funny.
Obviously Robert has worked with them in Twilight before. Mm-hmm. So I feel like bringing one person back from that series would make a lot more sense, but I don't really know a whole lot of actors that would fit Robin in this universe.
Yeah.
At all.
I almost feel like the funny, easy, boring answer would be, like, Tom Holland.
He's too associated with Marvel.
Yeah, that's also true.
He's too...
I mean,
he's too busy working on... he's too busy working on Spider-Man 4, if anything.
I don't think there's any like anything in the contract that says he can't do both, but like, I don't see him doing both, you know.
I can't even see him as Robin, though.
Yeah, no.
That's the thing.
It's just like...
He has too much of a goody-goody, like a goody-goody like personality, if that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess there's not much to really say about the Batman 2 script, but it is cool that we finally got a script in, you know, over 3 years after the fucking first movie. But yeah, any final thoughts?
Oh God, I really hope it's good. We waited so long for the Batman, and if we like a movie that's not as good as the first movie, that's gonna raise some eyebrows.
Yeah,
it's gonna raise some eyebrows. Yeah, especially not especially like how Joker 2 went.
Oh God.
Yeah, let's hope it doesn't end up like that. But I'm not saying it's going to. I'm just saying, like, hopefully it's, like, just as good as the first movie. Mm-hmm. But if it's, like, mid, then we're going to have some problems.
So. All right. Well, that's that. And, all right.
Wait, hold up. Okay.
Well, I've already unpaused. But this time I did not pause it for technical issues, by the way. Wow, look at that. But yeah, so I have a guest on. So for the final topic, what I like to do, this isn't always, it's not always for the final topic, but like it kind of like just happened that way today. What I like to do is when I have a guest on, I will have a guest, the guest come up with a topic. So Mad T, what is your topic?
Well, we're going back to the Switch 2, but this time it's not about the games itself, but more so on the console.
Yeah.
Still don't have their Switch 2s yet. So, and they're so desperate to get one that 3,000 consoles have just been stolen when from a truck. So I'm reading an article from IGN.
Oh.
4 million were stolen in a Brazen GameStop truck heist. So nearly 3,000 Switch 2 consoles have been reported stolen from a truck transporting stock between Nintendo of America's headquarters and a Texas GameStop, which is a little insane because how many people managed to, like, how did that even go down? Like, that's the real question.
I don't know.
Anyways.
I remember, like, I remember this happening once with, like, Amiibos and, like, new 3DSs, and now it's happened with the Switch 2. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Like, but anyways, like, tracking down the culprit or culprits may not prove easy. However, as investigators say, they are currently unsure exactly where the theft took place along the driver's 1,332-mile journey. Was this a planned operation with a truck tracked from Nintendo headquarters in Redmond, Washington, and targeted specifically? Or was this a random theft? Police say multiple pallets of Switch 2 stock were shifted from the truck's trailer, suggesting that at least some level of organization. If caught, police say those responsible could face multiple felony charges for theft. The driver, while has said he wasn't aware he was transporting... What? He was transporting stock of the Nintendo's new console. That's crazy.
That is crazy. About.
That is a little crazy. And, you know, it, like it shows, like, the numbers, like, really show, like, everybody just wants this fucking console, man. Like, no matter what, like...
Yeah.
I think the game stuff...
No, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I'm just saying, like, that does show that there's a lot of demand for this console. If, like, people are hijacking trucks to steal, which, by the way, condemning that. Fuck those guys, right? But
of course,
that does show that there's like demand, you know. Like I said, this happened with Amiibos, and we all remember. I don't know if you guys remember actually how like crazy the Amiibo fad was, those were quite crazy, you know. And there was like a truck that got hijacked that had like the fucking like Rosalina Ness Amiibo or some shit. You probably would have hijacked the truck knowing that there's Rosalina Amiibos, but,
You know, funny enough, I don't even have a Rosalina Amiibo.
Oh, I have both Rosalina Amiibos.
Interesting, I'm not even a collector.
Yeah,
Oh, wow, good for you.
But yeah, that's quite crazy. But just goes to show the Switch 2 is popular, and it's selling, although, it's kind of funny that I said it's just, a truck getting hijacked shows that it's selling. That is quite literally not the case, but like it shows it's popular.
I wouldn't say it's selling. It's more like how many people actually want the console.
Yeah,
I'm kind of curious if most of those people are actually like scalpers,
probably,
and are just stealing just to scalp it online for like thousands and thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of fucked up. We live in an age where like scalping is much more commonplace now, and I'm glad Nintendo is finding ways to fight that off.
Mm-hmm.
But
seems like they did a good, they did a like, really solid job fighting that off for the at least for pre-orders for the Switch 2.
Yeah, that's true. But they're like bugs. They just won't go away, and this is a good example. Just I feel bad for the truck driver. Mm-hmm. Delivering the Switch 2 consoles, though. That must have been, like, a scary thing, honestly.
Drop my phone.
But.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about that?
Keep your Switch 2 safe.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I need to say. You never know when somebody's going to break into your house and steal your Switch 2 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So. And for those that are watching this podcast, never trust scalpers. Do not
buy from scalpers.
Never buy from scalpers.
Even if it's like trustworthy, like don't give them money for scalping the product. Like don't do that. You know?
Exactly.
Like even if it's not a scam, even if you will get the product, you're paying way more than you should be for it.
Exactly.
So yeah. I think that does it for this episode. Mad T. Thanks. Thank you so much for joining me this episode. Where can people find you? Anything you want to plug?
Hopefully I get... Oh, we did upload the final episode of New Super Mario Bros. Wii on the arcade consoles. So if you want to check that out. In terms of my own channel, I don't really post much on there anymore. But I kind of...
Uh-oh.
World, because I just have a lot of stuff to say about that game. Like, I want to go. I want to like.
I don't know. Did we lose him? We almost made it to the end. Did we lose you?
What? What did I cut off? Like you, literally you the whole segment.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna repeat myself. So. He just posted the final episode of New Super Mario Brothers.
We got that part. But, like, when you're talking about your own channel, you cut off.
Oh, I haven't been really posting a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Take video on Mario Kart World, because I feel like I have a lot of other things to say about it.
You're working on a video for Mario Kart World, is that what you said?
Yeah, like a critique video.
Okay.
I want to skim through this whole thing.
Kind of give
my ups and downs. So, only time will tell, though. So. Yeah.
And of course, if you follow me on my other socials: Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, Twitch. If you're listening to this podcast on. SoundCloud, it's on anything now, pretty much anywhere you get your podcast. So SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, it's on fucking iHeartRadio. if you're on there, go to YouTube, DPX, DPX Solo. I almost said DPX.com. That's not a real place, but
maybe you should make a website. Or something.
It might actually be DPX is like the type of knife, so maybe it is actually a real place. But go to YouTube.com/DPXSolo. You'll see if you only listen to me on like the audio versions, you get to see what I actually look like in the audio in the podcast on YouTube. You don't get to see what Mad T looks like because he didn't have his camera on this video. But also I post other stuff on my YouTube, so go subscribe to that. Of course, subscribe to Mad T whenever he uploads next, and we'll be back. I'll be back for another episode of DPX Talks for about an hour. Bye, guys.